Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Hello, Mike, Stanley, Johanna. How are you all? Everybody good?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from, Stanley? Good morning, Laura.
Portland, Oregon. I'm in a houseboat on the Columbia River, so
Oh, we're all covetous and then jealous. That sounds wonderful.
that's outside there.
Beautiful. Beautiful and nice weather to enjoy.
Yeah. Hey, Laura.
Good morning.
Well, we need one more for a quorum, and there's our quorum. Good morning, Cassie. Good morning.
Hey, Cassie.
Hi.
Let's give it one more minute and then we'll begin. And I see we're recording, Johanna. That's great. And Cassie, are you over on the coast?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Lovely. Stanley's in Portland.
Yay.
Mike's in Ashland, Laura and Ken are, Johanna are in Ashland. All right, just let's call the meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. I would bring up the question of the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Good job, Johanna. They're very, very thoughtfully done. Appreciate that. Any additions to the minutes? Excuse me, any addition to the agenda? All right. Are there people in the public who would like to speak?
Seeing any hands. I know Peter will be speaking later, so.
All right, so there are no public forum comments. Let's begin with liaison reports. And I see that Steph Steffenser is not here. She is still recovering from surgery, is my understanding, but doing well. Johanna?
I don't have too much. Something I mentioned to Ken was that they got Golden Connections cleaned up on Thursday. So that's good after we've been waiting for a while. So that's kind of all I have.
What was there another graffiti incident or?
No, it was just backed up so much,
Yeah.
the machine that they needed, that it took them a little
Yeah.
while to get to it. Yeah.
Well, that's really good. We hope that it doesn't happen again, but it may. It's a attractive nuisance for some who can't manage. Laura, did we say hello? Hello, Laura. Okay, Jim Lewis is not here. Is Jim fine, doing all right? He has not been here for at least three meetings. Johanna, do you have any insight on that?
I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever actually met him or seen him at a meeting. I can reach out and touch base.
Would you do that? I think it would be helpful to know. All right, let's proceed to the next item, which is the equity lens follow-up. At our previous meetings, we had discussed follow-up to the questions before us with regard to an equity lens. And I'd like to entertain the motion that we adopt the land acknowledgement, which has been adopted by the City Council. And we would read that at each of our subsequent meetings. I propose in rotation so that each one gets a chance. Is there a motion to adopt the land acknowledgement? Let me read it just for the record. We acknowledge and honor the Aboriginal people of whose ancestral homelands we work. the Ica Rakotsam brand of the Shasta Nation, as well as the diverse and vibrant Native communities who make their home here today. We honor the first stewards in the Rogue Valley and the lands we love and depend on. Tribes with ancestral lands and surrounding the geography of Ashland Watershed include the original, past, present, and future indigenous inhabitants of the Shasta, Takelma, and Athabascan people. We also recognize and acknowledge the Shasta village of Kewakaha, where the Crow Lights, that is now the Ashland City Plaza. Is there a motion to adopt the reading of this land acknowledgement at future meetings?
I'm unclear, but I think we did that. Didn't we make a motion and approve that last time, Johanna? Or is that?
Let me pull it up. I don't remember exactly if there was a motion.
I think it was because I read the minutes, but I could be wrong.
The only comment I would have, I think it's great we're doing this, but what's not included in that acknowledgement is the fact that we stole the land. And, you know, I mean, it's great to honor it, but we're sort of ignoring the fact that what we did as a culture when we came here, what we did to those people, we sold the land, and we're acknowledging it in a way that seems like it's just a reaction I have every time I hear that. You know, that's the good part. We're sorry. There isn't even "we're sorry" in there. You know, mm-hmm. So I don't know.
You've said that once before, Stanley, and that really stuck with me a lot. I suspect we could add our own line in there and read our slightly edited version. It looks like the motion passed that Joel and I. That one of us made last time. Is that what you're seeing, Johanna?
Yeah. It looks like it was passed 5-0 to begin each meeting with a land acknowledgement.
All right. Thank you. So we don't need a motion for that. Cassie, would you and Stanley like to work on an addition to reflect this idea that the land was stolen? Perhaps, Cassie, you could draft something and then anybody else.
I would welcome an addendum to that statement that acknowledges something. Do you want to do a first draft, Cassie?
Sure. Yeah, and I'll send it to you, Stanley.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. And thanks for the contribution there. Is Peter there?
Let me promote him. Looks like Stephanie is also here, and I will promote her to panelists as well.
Since Mike is with us, I forgot to I didn't have a chance to put that on the agenda, but in the interest of Mike's time, let's wait for Peter and let's talk with Mike. Stephanie, welcome. Good to see you. I think you might be muted.
Keep only being able to get into the meeting as a, not as a panelist. So I've been here for the meeting, but watching you guys.
Joanna, what used to happen is we'd get sent a link as a panelist. And the only way I got in the meeting was to go to the Ashland website and click on that. And then
that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah. So anyway,
okay.
It all works.
If I'm not here, that may be why. It seems like my computer, it is a bit, hard to deal with here. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. And I'm happy to, give you any report with regard to the council that you would like.
Let's just back up and give you a minute to do that as our liaison. And Johanna, you might look to see if the other two are Still trying to click to log on. Send them a link. Stephanie.
Yes, what affects the Public Arts Commission is that the city is looking at changing the number of commissions that we have and how they relate to ones that will be directly under or responding to the council versus those that will be advisory to staff. The Public Arts Commission will be one that might be renamed Public Arts Council. However, it would still be connected to the city council and not directly only to the staff. The city is looking at changing that role, and that will be one on the agenda of the next city council meeting. So the final outline of what the committees will do and how they will function is being an amendment is being added by Joe Lessard to change some of that language. So I'll be looking out for that. I don't know how much it'll really impact the actual workings of this group. Probably not a whole lot. The ones that it will affect more probably are committees like Forest Lands, or also there's some of the band board, I believe, is going to be not continued, and some things are going to be ad hoc committees as needed, as opposed to standing committees. So
interesting.
You said they're considering renaming the Arts Commission.
Well, I think to have a transition between what was and what is going to be, they're going to rename some of what commissions are called. My understanding is that they'll be called councils.
Okay, well, and would it affect any sort of funding that we have, or is there any proposal to alter any sort of the internal structure or the funding or the how we select new commissioners?
How we select new commissioners. It hasn't been brought up by the council at this point. Right now, the charter indicates the mayor appoints and the council approves. So there has been some concern about that there should be more of a process where new applicants are either first. What used to happen is they used to first go to a meeting, and then they would meet with the chair, and they would meet with the liaison, and there would be more of a process in terms of looking at what their goals and what they could add to a commission would be versus just an appointment without going through that process. But right now that's still something that the council could address if they want to, but it hasn't been addressed to be different than it is currently.
Any other questions of Steph? I have a question, and I think it was embraced in Stanley's question. Would the codes, the city code, be changed?
Yeah.
Okay, it would be changed to accommodate whatever is recommended, but the content probably stay the same for the Public Arts Commission.
At the next meeting, you can see what the changes would be in the that are proposed, and they haven't been acted on yet. So I can't say that they'll end up being exactly what it is now, but that is something that's coming up at the next meeting.
And the date of that meeting is what?
Tuesday.
All right. Thank you. Any other thoughts, Steph?
I don't really see personally a great deal of desire to change the direction that the Public Arts Commission has been going at this point in terms of being more inclusive and being looking at projects that are innovative and making the process easier, not harder, for art to occur in the city. Certainly that's kind of why I wanted to be a liaison, is that that's my belief system, is that public art should reflect a community and all parts of the community.
Hear, hear. All right. Anything in addition that you can help us with?
Right now, the budget is still obviously the big issue in terms of looking at how to balance it for the next year, as well as looking at future deficits and how to address that. Parks has made a decision or suggestion to the council that or agreed that their public communication person would be shared half and half with the city and with the parks. I think that's Dorinda Cottle's position. And the other decision has been that Parks wants to no longer lease Pioneer Hall, as it costs them something like $12,000 a year, and they do not make any money on that. So it's another one of the things they're trying to do to bring down their 10%, which is what Joe Lessard was looking at all of the departments to do. So that's in the works there. Also, I guess the other big issue that will be on the next ballot is how much of the food and beverage tax will be directed towards parks versus put in the general fund. So that will be on the ballot, as well as the city mayor has suggested that because of the fact that his role is new, it's different than the city administrator was, and that he believes that what should be happening is all employees are under the same kind of human services and policies with regard to how employees are treated and benefits, that it should be everybody should be a city employee in a different sense, and that he should be the one that would be directly over the hiring of park administrators, and not any longer the commission of the Parks Commission. But that would then also be something that the citizens would vote on, since it's a change in the charter.
Very interesting. So still the transition into the city manager style of operating the city.
I think that there have in the past been some concerns about not having the same policies with regard to both remuneration. Parks has not been, employees haven't been in a union. Their salaries haven't always been the same. And then there's also looking at how employees are treated and how if there are issues of discrimination or different treatment that needs to be more uniform in terms of policies for being fair to all.
All right. Are we ready to move on? Any other comments for Councilman Steffinger? Okay. Now, Mike, thank you for coming and welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Really appreciate your spending time with us. I think you had some prepared thoughts, and we're open to that, and then questions.
Sure. Well, I had been sent a list of a few questions that people had, so I was prepared to answer those. The first one being the medallion project. I know everybody's probably anxious about that one. Four of the five are pretty straightforward and easy, and we're ready to bid those as soon as we get the fifth one done. The fifth one has grown into it's a pretty complicated project at this point. So that's the one that's going to go at Railroad Park at the entrance there, kind of near the new Golden Connections. So when we started looking at that one, where it was proposed to go, the concrete was in pretty poor shape. So we thought, well, we'll replace the panel that it goes in and the ones next to it. Well, the more we looked at it, all that concrete needs to go. So it's almost all the way down to the artwork, all the way up to the road. And then when it got to the road, we realized that also includes an ADA ramp that is out of compliance. So it's the design now is with the engineers. The design itself is going to be about $17,000. So it's taken a little bit of time. Once we get that back, we can bid the whole project. The amount of concrete that the Railroad Park one's going to require, it's going to add to the cost significantly. It's probably going to be, this is just a guess at this point, but maybe $25,000 just for the installation of that one. So figuring out the funding of all this has taken some time. Also, just this morning, I finally got an account number from the Parks Department, because the way that all this works, Parks Department has to pay for what's in the park. We can't use street funds for that. The artwork itself, we can use our TOT funds, the transient occupancy tax. And then the ADA ramp comes from Public Works. So it's just a little bit complicated. It's caused some delays, and I'm sorry that it's taken as long as it has, but I'm hoping we get our design here in the next couple of weeks, and then we can move forward with actually bidding the project and getting those installed. So anybody have any questions on that one?
Yeah. So the extra cost for the extra concrete there, it's my understanding that that's not coming out of the Arts Commission budget. It's coming from Parks and Rec and Public Works.
Yeah. So we're splitting it up. We're trying to figure out exactly how to divide it. Parks will pay for what's in the park. Legally, that's the way we have to do it. Public Works will pay for anything that's ADA related. Parks is also technically responsible for a sidewalk that's adjacent to their property. Just like any property owner in town, you're responsible for the sidewalk adjacent to your property. And then TOT funds will be used for the actual medallion installation.
Okay.
So there shouldn't be anything beyond what was originally planned to be charged to the Arts Commission. So just the bare basic installation.
And do you have an estimate of that, Mike?
We're still working out the details of it. The Public Art Commission chair, I would think, will be $5,000 or so, $1,000 per medallion.
That sounds like what we originally anticipated. So, yeah.
Some of that depends on when we actually bid the project. Concrete prices have gone up like everything, of course. And then it just depends on the contractor we get. But that's kind of where we're ballparking it at this point. We want to get a good contractor for this one. A flat sidewalk, anybody can do. But these medallions are definitely a little bit more complicated than just a flat sidewalk. So we'll know more here in a few weeks.
And is there any thought to dividing the project into the fifth medallion and going ahead with the four medallions that are simple?
If we had it to do over, I probably would. But at this point, no, it's probably better to just keep them together. We'll get a better price that way.
I see.
Sure. The only reason for doing that would be for time.
Yes.
So at this point, I think we're already farther into this than we thought we would be. So just a few more weeks probably isn't worth dividing it at this point.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, that's really helpful. We are all anxious and stand on one foot and then the other and twiddle our thumbs at every meeting wondering about
that. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that. I wish it had gone quicker, but it kept getting more complicated.
Well, and it's really helpful to have this understanding.
Yeah, and we'd rather do it right than do it quick. So
of course.
I hope you can agree.
Of course. Other questions? Yeah, go ahead.
The next one I had was, what are the steps for installing a plaque for nourishing our community? If somebody wants to just give me a proposal of what they want, I can take it to our engineering group and make sure they approve of it. We just don't want to put anything that's going to cause a trip hazard or a slip hazard. Right. So if you just show us kind of what it's going to be and where you want it, I can see if we can get approval for that. And then we can probably install it. It's just in the sidewalk.
It has been a question up until this point. We need to develop a proposal and some text, but I think we could do that over the next weeks and get something to you.
It doesn't need to be anything fancy or engineered or anything, just an idea of what you think it's going to be. And if there's questions, then we might have to get more from there. But it's one thing I would keep in mind, though, is we've had plaques to other locations that people steal them. It's for whatever reason, they have time during the middle of the night and they can pry them out of there and they'll take them. So
we need to work with you on how to best to fix them so that they are the least likely to be removed.
It's amazing how much effort people have gone to take some in the past. So I would be maybe prepared to replace it again sometime in the future. It seems like when they're brand new is when they get the most attention, and then they kind of just blend in and people don't notice them as much.
All right.
See, the third question I have is, what are the steps for painting additional utility boxes? If you identify the utility boxes that you think would be good candidates to be painted, we'll probably need to take those to the electric department, and they'll need to confirm that they're okay with it, or there might be some that they're not okay with, depending on what's in them. A lot of them, if they have a lot of stickers on them, those stickers are legally required. So it might change the design or might make you think that it's not one that we should paint. So come up with a list of the ones you want to do, and I can help take those to, it's Tom at Bartlett in our electric department. They've been pretty good to work with. So
that sounds good. We're entertaining a proposal from the high school teachers and students that they would like. It's a project they could do and would like to do. So that's in the offing.
Okay. And then when it does come time, there are some requirements for like closing sidewalks or traffic control if it's one that's right next to a street. So we need to get involved at that point just to keep it safe.
Sure. Safety. Any other questions there, Mike? Those are the three.
There was one more that on my list. It was the Rio. Is it Amistad? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Yeah. So that one, I think we're waiting for a proposal from the artist to actually make that one happen. We get into a little bit tricky situations with these because they have to have insurance. And typically the city requires $2 million of insurance for any contractor. And that's a lot of insurance. And something small like this, they're not going to want to pay for that. So we just need to get an exception to not require $2 million, but they will have to have insurance of some type. And they'll probably have to have the attorneys agree that it's the appropriate amount. But we're working on that one.
So just in that connection, it's my understanding the city's responsible for the maintenance of public art, and that the involvement of the artist is simply as, I won't say simply, but as to assist in putting the right tiles in, that sort of thing, which to me doesn't seem like there's a need for the artist to have any insurance. Is that accurate?
To a degree. So, yeah, the city is responsible for maintaining the artwork. We could have a city staff member go out there and do the work. but this is tile that's artistic, and our crews, to be honest, they're not artistic, and it would look like somebody was repairing your bathroom tile. So that's why we want an artist to come back and do it. But when they do that, they then become a contractor for the city. So they then do have to carry insurance, and they can build the cost of that insurance into their quote, but it's with insurance, it's usually not as easy as the company just saying it'll cost you $500 more. But if they work with their insurance company, figure that into their quote, then that's how we get around that.
All right. So we're waiting to hear from Sue, the Sue Springer, the artist, who is, I believe, lives in Washington, but does show her art down here. She works with Howard Hansen.
We had some earlier communications with her. She's very willing to do the work. We just need to
schedule.
Nobody likes dealing with things like insurance. It always makes it more complicated. But we can work with her on that.
Wonderful. Okay. Any other questions for Mike? All right. Mike, thank you so very much. This is really helpful. And the communication is excellent. And let us know if there's anything that we can do to make it easier from your standpoint.
I'm happy to join anytime. So if you have questions in the future, just let me know.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wait one second. Cassie, did you have a question?
Oh, I just was saying thank you.
Oh, all right. Yes, we have a motion to thank Mike.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
In the meantime, I got an email from Joel, and this is a little bit out of order, but he has a work crisis, and he commented on the plaque for Golden Connections. We'll talk about that in a minute when we get there. So I believe it's time for Stanley. You're down at John Pugh, so it must be time for Peter.
Oh, Stanley, you're muted, I think.
Is that next, the John Pugh?
No, I'm sorry. I was reading ahead. I seem to be discombobulated today. So I am trying to keep it interesting so that everybody has to watch the dancing ball.
Well, hello.
Good morning, Peter. Welcome.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah. So I just want to follow up on the discussion about neighborhood art, utility boxes as one of the possibilities. And because the Haynes, and specifically, you know, we've talked about wanting, or the Public Arts Commission has talked about wanting to do more neighborhood art over the last year or two that I've been tuning into the meetings. And now with the Haynes and Friends Art Fund starting up again this year, giving money to artists, it seems to me that would be an opportunity for some funding for these small kind of neighborhood art projects, possibly multiple neighborhood art projects. And what would be required would be for the Public Arts Commission to make a proposal to the Haynes and Friends Art Fund by August 30th. And, you know, I talked to Matthew Haynes about it. He said, he didn't make any promises, but he said it seems like a possibility that a proposal from the Public Arts Commission could be approved. So, I am willing to help with contacting people or helping find people in neighborhoods or neighborhood groups who would want to do something on their street or their HOA. Just to be a resource to help if PAC wants to put something together. And then the money wouldn't, you know, the money probably wouldn't come until, I don't know exactly how that works, but just my thought was if we even put something together, if PAC put something together, maybe $300 or $400 or $500 projects. So, you know, total ask of maybe $1,500 to $2,000 from the Haynes and Friends Art Fund that could help stimulate some new art around town.
Questions for Peter? Stephanie?
Just for some more information, the project is going to be just who gets the grants will be decided, my understanding, in November. And it's more for the following year. And the amounts you can ask for are $1,000 to $5,000.
That's my understanding. That Peter, can you confirm that?
So, yeah.
We're not confirming. We're understanding from Steph. Stanley.
So do we have a process in place for approval? I mean, the Arts Commission goes through a pretty long and torturous process for most of our projects. I imagine that artwork proposals to paint a utility box may be a very slimmed down version of that. But is there a process that we've imagined for approving these?
Peter, can you address that?
Well, I mean, anything that is public art has to be approved by the Public Arts Commission. So, yeah. All of the current painted utility boxes were done between 2009 and 2015. Mm-hmm. And you might want to consult with a couple of commissioners who were involved in that process, who were on the commission either in 2009 or 2015, when those 2 years, most of them were done. Most of them were approved and done. From reading the minutes of older meetings, as far as I can tell, the Public Arts Commission asked artists for drawings and approved the artist and approved their design. And then, as with other public art, it went through the city council as well. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So if there are no other questions, I think we can take this a step at a time. And the first step to complete an application to the Haynes and Friends. So I'd entertain a motion that Public Art Commission entertain make an application to the Haynes and Friends Foundation for an amount up to $3,000. Is that sufficient?
Well, I think that the application has to come with a specific proposal for the artwork.
So then, Steph?
It does, and it needs to include timelines, how much the equipment will cost, how much the supplies will cost. So it is more specific than just asking for an amount.
I see.
So it sounds like we need to issue some kind of an RFP in general to the community to number one, describe what the project is and get people to apply for it. And that's a longer process, but it sounds like before we can even, it's a little bit of a cart before the horse thing, because if we go through that process without knowing that we've secured funds, then it's a little bit of a waste of time. but if we can be assured that funds are available with reasonable probability, I think it'd be worth going through that. But
I wonder if we could include in the application, we will be awarding these, you know, as part of the public arts process to 4 or 5. I think you said the number 3,000, Ken, and I think somewhere else in there, maybe the number 400 or 500 to each utility box was said, but I didn't take specific notes. So maybe we say, you know, we're looking to award this to 5 to 6 neighborhoods that come forward and apply through the Public Arts Commission. So there's specific numbers of how much we're planning to allot to each one, and specifically, you know, to paints, and specifically here's the process. And it also seems like as part of that, we might be able to make sort of a reusable utility box application that helps the layperson be able to go through the public arts process of what exactly we're looking for in a presentation with their artwork. So it's real easy, because I mean, I'm flashing back to the high school coming to us, and their presentations were just amazing. I don't expect anything like that from a neighborhood utility box, but maybe we could just make it real simple so that it is feels really welcoming and really accessible to everyday people from the community to come forward and just go through exactly step by step what questions we would want to be answered when they come to us. I would be happy to help create, you know, a generic sort of application for utility box, as well as help write for the grant, the application. But maybe I'm missing things. So that was just where my mind was going.
I spoke earlier, and Laura also is willing to work on the application. So what I'm gathering from this is that we first need to develop a more complete application. And with that, if we get, we can then, after having made the application, we could give more thought to the specifics. And if awarded, then we could put out the call. Stanley.
Sorry, I'm near the airport here. So I think something we should consider here is that what's kind of spurring this idea is the fact that this outside money may be available. But I think that if we put out an RFP before we know we have the funding available, we should decide whether or we should make a commitment that we're going to have this go forward irregardless if we get this outside funding. And if it's to the tune of $3,000 or $4,000, the Arts Commission, you know, in the event that the Haynes Fund does not fund it, we will step up and fund it. In other words, don't make it conditional on getting these extra funds. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea. Others?
We would have to go to council for approval for that funding. Isn't that right? Yeah.
But if we're talking about 3K, it's even possible that the city manager would be involved and say yes to that. So, Laura.
So I'm trying to understand the timeline here. If we have, originally it was discussed, maybe we get something together by August 1st. I don't see that as a possibility, but the timeline is through August 30th from what was written here for the application. So would we then put out requests? Because I hear a couple of things here. Go find some artists, because Peter had said he'd help kind of locate maybe neighborhood groups, HOAs that might be interested, and then perhaps help them along with the application to speed up the process, give them kind of, you know, the idea of what they are asking. Because I don't know that we have a grasp on how much materials will cost or what's involved, you know, unless we engage the artist or the group that's going to be doing it. So there's a lot of variables here that are time consuming. Is it, can we do this? And do we have, you know, the time involved to do all of the steps that we need to do and have the knowledge that we can, you know, be successful? Otherwise, like Stanley said, it's just going to be then kind of thrown to, if it's not approved and we don't have our, you know, ducks in a row, then I mean, is this feasible to do it in the timeline we have and all of the things we need to do to set up to get it going?
We have, I think, to make the application essential, we have 6 weeks.
Well,
Peter.
Yeah, I just want to mention that, you know, when I wrote that article about the 2009 painted utility boxes at my Walk Aston website, I did get emails from two or three people saying, hey, I'd love to have a painted utility box in my neighborhood. So I don't think it's going to be that hard to find people who want to do it. I mean, I'll put out the word to the, you know, 500 or so email subscribers I have, and there's art, you know, there are Ashland Facebook groups, and there's a Southern Oregon Art, a visual arts Facebook group. And as Ken mentioned, Max Malcolm, the art teacher at Ashland High School, has some interest from students in painting utility boxes right around the high school, I think. I think if PAC people could maybe put together what Cassie was talking about, like a simple form for whoever wants to do it to fill out, if that could maybe be put together in the next week or two, and then I can, you know, try to rustle up some interest along with all the people that, you know, community groups that you know, or neighborhood groups that each of you know. And then possibly there could be some proposals by the August meeting for the commission to look at.
Okay, and you don't think that's too late, a date to get things, because we'll have till August 30th to then put it forth to for the Haynes and Friends. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if let's say that there were five different people or neighborhood groups that said, hey, I want to do one, and came up with a rough idea, you know, by the time of the August meeting, then PAC could put something together by August 30th, I think, to, you know, to submit to the Haynes and Friends Art Fund.
Stanley.
Yeah, so just to get the timeline right, according to Stephanie, if we're going to commit to this project and we're not going to absolutely rely on the Haynes and Friends grant, we would need to get approval from the city council in general. I mean, maybe the way we present it to them is we think we're going to be funded, but they need to approve the basic idea. Do we have to do that before we even do what Peter is suggesting, put the word out? Because if you put the word out, we better be damn sure we're going to be able to do the project. And if we need city council approval for that, we should probably get that first. And how does that work out with the funding deadline for Haynes and Friends?
Could I suggest that we move to a proposal that the Public Arts Commission would fund projects, including painting utility boxes, neighborhood art projects, and the application to the Haynes and Friends for funding. Period. Stephanie.
Yeah, I was trying to do one for the emergency food bank, and it became problematic to get it done in that time frame. Another thought that I had for this would be to propose a timeline that at a certain time you look for artists, and you're going to choose three different artists to submit, but have that written into the grant, not necessarily saying that that's going to be completed. It'll be depending on if a grant is accepted or not. And then the timelines would include that process of, I think it would really be hard to try to get it done if you didn't do it that kind of a way in the time frame that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Just as a side note as well, I agree with what you said, Stephanie. That was what where my mind was as well, to kind of hold off on putting out the call until to spell out in the timeline when the call will go out based on the grant coming in. But just so you all know, thank you, Johanna, for sending out the pack box link. But all of the information about the process for the utility boxes is there in our box. So if anybody wants to go back and look at the previous calls for artists and the way the process worked, it's there.
I'm looking for 2 volunteers or more to work with Peter to develop a proposal for the Public Arts Commission to move forward on this project. So all these questions, I think, would be answered by that study group, or and I see 2 hands. Are you volunteering both, Laura and Cassie and Peter? Yes. And we would anticipate hearing from you by the August 15th meeting, at which time we could address Haynes, and we could also address independently moving forward with a project, which I think, as Stanley suggests, we could fund pending city council approval.
What is the deadline for the Haynes and Friends application?
August 30. August 30.
All right.
So I believe there's time to do both of these tracks. So thank you both. Let's ask the 3 of you, together with Peter and anyone else who'd like to participate, to bring that proposal forward in August. Any other thoughts before we move on? Great. Thank you both for working on that. Peter, thank you for your persistence, your dedication, and we will dedicate at least 1 utility box to Peter. All right. Thanks again. Now, moving PAC work plan and project updates. Laura, first Friday, how was your experience?
It was really fun. It was great. A lot of tourists, the majority of the people already knew about, I was in front of Velocity. And the majority of people already knew about it and were just stopping to talk, and they all love it. And most of them knew more or less about it. And so it was more just visiting, talking about it. And it was very enjoyable. And it was fun. I'd do it again. Great. I love it. So it was easy.
Wonderful. So September will be our next planned event. I also enjoyed it very much. I did not have the foot traffic. We both, I think, anticipated July 1st weekend, that would be more. There was a lot of foot traffic, but they moved on by. In my experience, I arrived a few minutes or well half an hour early, and the Peace Choir was singing at the site where I was planning to talk. And fortuitously, they concluded their performance at about 5 to 6. So it was touch and go. I tried to follow Peter's idea of getting helium balloons. That was a saga. I won't bore you with that, but I don't think I'll do that again. All right.
Ken, I think you need to improve your carnival barker skills.
Absolutely. I need to learn how to be a barker. Next topic is the Golden Connections update. Johanna, you mentioned earlier the cleanup was done. Any other thoughts there from you?
No, I know those checks got out for the plaque and for the stone to be paid for. So now we just need 1 more proposal for attaching the plaque to the stone, and then hopefully all that is getting wrapped up.
Good. I got an email while we were talking. My little inbox was jumping up and down, so I thought it might be him. Joel had a work crisis, so he wasn't able to attend. But in his comment, he said that he's checked and we are moving up the queue with the fabricator, and the plaque will be done on their schedule. So we're waiting for that. With the plaque, we'll go over to Leave Their Mark and get their bid for what it will cost to attach. We have a rough idea now. It is drilling most likely four holes in the stone, probably 4 inches deep, and it's $5 an inch. So 20 inches times the five, plus maybe some cost. All right. Anything else on plaque and the golden connections? Moving on then to Say Their Names update briefly. The project went before the Ashland Parks and Rec District last night, Wednesday night, sorry, at which time they approved the location in the park, Ashland Creek Park, just as had been proposed when we saw that. So that's a step forward, and I believe that's the last thing before moving to the city council. Steph, can you add any to that?
No, that's what I understand as well.
Terrific. All right. So we will see. Now, Stanley, sorry for late. John Pugh.
Yeah, so Ken and I had an invitation from John Pugh to come over to his studio. When was that, Ken? That was like a week and a half ago.
Oh, I don't think it was that long, but maybe week ago Thursday.
Yeah, and it was just... Sorry.
I'm awake.
Yeah, so he had snacks for us, which was great, and we kind of looked at some work that he was doing for
Arizona.
A mural in Arizona, and his process is quite amazing. Just to remind everybody, John Pugh is an internationally known mural painter. He has murals all over the country, and he lives in Ashland now, and he wants to do a mural on the side of the Elks Club, and he's met with the Elks Club. When John and I went over there to meet him, this was not an Arts Commission sanctioned meeting. It was just a gathering of friends. But there was a representative from the Elks Club there. And the Elks apparently are very excited about this project. And John has produced a rendering, a drawing of what this thing might look like, and had petitioned the Elks Club to fund a model, which apparently the Elks Club has agreed to do, to the tune of, I think, $500 was the budget to create this model. I think this mural is pretty amazing. And if it gets put up there, I think it will be one of the more visible and significant pieces of public art in Ashland. I think it's a very big question of whether it's going to be put up, because it's expensive. I think John's projected budget was in the neighborhood of $160,000. And so clearly it's going to require some outside funding. And after the meeting, Ken and I talked a little bit about that, and it brings me back to a question that I've had in front of the commission many times, is what is the process and what's the ability for us to be involved in securing outside funding? Because if any project screams for that, it's this one. It's way beyond any city budget, and so we need to find or support the finding of some independent funders for this project. It's not an official Arts Commission project yet. I think that John did a presentation a few months back that kind of showed some of his other work. And, you know, I think it would be just an amazing thing to happen. But it all depends on funding. I don't think we can count on the city or the Arts Commission to fund much, if any. So that's kind of where we're at. I'm not really sure the path going forward. I know Ken has some friends in the fundraising world. I have a few myself. So, you know, it's a question of reaching out to people who may be interested in putting up the money for this project. So anyway, that's where we're at.
A couple of additional thoughts. We did conclude with the expectation that John would finish his model, which he'll do as a 3D model representing what will become a two-dimensional art piece in a mural of a 3D vision. So that's where we're headed. We asked if John could put that together and make a proposal to the Public Arts Commission on the concept, which I anticipate he will do during the month. And we will address that in August if he has completed that. Beyond that, then it would need all the necessary approvals and that sort of thing. To Stanley's point, we talked about the big piece, which is how do we get funding. Artists don't want to be their own champion, of course. And the Elks made very clear that they don't want to be the champion for the fundraising. So that is remains to be a question. And John's very realistic. He's done this worldwide, as Stanley Rick suggests. So we'll see him hopefully in August, and then we can address such a proposal. And with that, I had had some conversation with Johanna. I'm going to suggest that we think about asking the yet-to-be-named finance director to create a specific account, which would be this. Further, I've talked with Beverly Hovenkamp, and the historic commissioners are pretty much in agreement, consensus, they haven't taken a vote, that this could be the Marking Ashland Places to Downtown project. Also, all dependent upon funding. But I think there is a coalition, there is a confluence of possibilities here that by August or September, we could move forward on both these. So all begins with John and his presentation to us. Any other questions, thoughts?
Yeah, the marking public places, as everybody knows, requires a central piece of artwork to be the center of the spokes where the medallions go. And yeah, we discussed the idea of this mural being the central sculpture. It's not really a sculpture, but for the plaza project. So,
Cassie.
Well, I just want to drop in the equity lens piece of, you know, we just had Micah here presenting us with also a very significant piece that was quite expensive. And I would like to be very conscious of who we're fundraising for and what we're jumping. Like, you know, here we have a community-driven project that, you know, was initially this installation along the fence and a local Black artist. So I would, my personal equity perspective is that, you know, whatever we're raising, we're thinking of raising for John, I think we should also be considering what we're raising for our local Black artist who's at the table with a very hefty project as well. So that's my yeah. piece.
On the order of $125,000 in his last budget discussion. So altogether, we're looking at $300,000 investment. And it is an investment, and it would take I wouldn't say obviously, but clearly it will take philanthropic support to do both of these. I do think there's also a confluence of these two coming forward. And if they come to fruition together, it really would significantly enhance the public art culture of Ashland and put us much farther on the map. We have some public awareness, but I think this is possible. So just with regard to detail, we did talk about John Pugh, and he will include, or he does include in his work, representation of Native peoples. So with the equity lens in mind, we sort of underscored that. It was already there, but...
Yeah, but your point is well taken, Cassie, that we don't want these fundraising efforts to be competing with each other. And I'm not sure how to accomplish that, but it's a good point. I hadn't really considered that.
One thought I have is that I do believe that we, the Public Arts Commission, has the capacity to recommend a seed money funding for both of these projects, which would be then visible, anchored to which we could draw, and the artists and the people supporting them. I had, in addition, sent Micah a site that funds Black Lives Matters artistic projects, and he's going to follow up on that with his project. Any other questions or thoughts? Thank you very much, Stanley. We appreciate that. And I don't know if you're on vacation or this is a work trip or both.
It's a little bit of both. So
yeah. Good. Yeah. You write off your vacations through your
right, exactly.
Marketing. I've been there. All right. Well, thank you very much. Are there other topics that or questions? We amazingly have finished the agenda. Cassie.
I have something kind of interest for the commission, which is that this week, for my school paper this week, I was tasked to write some questions that I was supposed to go out and interview people about. And so I decided to interview people in the community through my Facebook friends, people I don't talk to very often that I know in the community, about the public arts and which pieces they connect to. It was like a fun research project that I got to do. And I decided to do it about public art. And I am looking forward to sharing it with all of you. I've gotten to interview now 8 people. And it's fascinating to hear questions like, well, would you come to the public arts, or how welcoming do you feel like it is? And a lot of people are like, I don't know. I've never heard anything about what the Public Arts Commission is doing. And then the question like, what would you do to enhance what the Public Arts Commission is doing? And the big thing was about communication and social media. And so anyway, it was just very interesting. And it made me think about a lot of things like, what if we went to council and said, what can we do about not having a social media page? You know, how do we connect with the community more? How do we enhance our visibility to the community? So these ideas like the utility box for me is very exciting, because it is a way that we get to engage the community, that there might be more transparency, but visibility of what we're doing out in the community. So I just wanted to let you know that it's been a fun project, and I'm excited to share it with you, because it was just cool to hear what pieces people resonate with. And, you know, some people love Threshold, some people don't love Threshold, and all the different, you know, opinions about various art. And it was fun. And I'm just collecting data that I think it would be cool if every commissioner got to go out once a year and spend a day interviewing random people in the community about their perspective of what we're doing. So just dropping that in. Stephanie?
Yeah, I would just say that the idea of having parks have half of the person with the city is really about some of the things you're talking about. The city doesn't really have a good presence on social media. It doesn't have a very good website from my perspective, and it doesn't have a newsletter anymore or let people know about positive things that are happening in the community. So I think the council really feels that's a need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, several people mentioned it would be cool if we did something on First Friday. And I was like, we are doing something on First Friday. Yeah, right. But there's just a gap in communication. So
it's a real challenge. Peter's been helpful with his various newsletter and social media. In that connection, I did work with Johanna just a bit, and I forwarded to each of you a link to The Power of Public Art, which is the 20-minute video that was prepared by the 2020 PAC. It's beautifully done. It has wonderful messages about public art. My experience with it is that it's lengthy, beyond the attention span of most people. I've watched online a video presentation and could see people wandering in and out, knitting, getting coffee, and so forth. Mm-hmm. The idea of perhaps editing it down has been suggested in the past, according to Aaron. And I looked at it with that perspective. It's something I'd like one to encourage each of you to review. Send it to everybody in your email list, which I've begun to do. It's a way to reach out. And then I know each of us is very busy, but it lends itself to a public presentation of a social group or a club, or I'm sure that was the original intent. And then discussing the questions, as Cassie has, what is in the mind of various public folks about public art. It's a big spectrum. Mm-hmm. Stephanie did, Stanley.
Yeah, as somebody who was involved in the creation of that, I'll just say that it's been edited down. The original was so much longer. And it was always a bunch of compromise. I'm not saying it couldn't be edited down further. I like that presentation a lot. I think it's really has great appeal, and it's very informative, and it makes people think about public art in ways that they may not have. So
yes.
I'm not sure it really needs to be edited, but I know it seems like our culture's attention span keeps getting smaller and smaller.
I believe, as a general rule, it's pretty well established that a typical audience can stay with you for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I know preachers who have put a mint in their mouth, and when the mint dissolves, they make the closing prayer, except for once the minister put a button in his mouth and he went on for a long half. I plan to bring this topic up further. I did make my own effort, and I just made notes. I didn't do any editing. But there's about five or six pieces in that work with which there's no message attached. It's just a view of the piece. Right. The other portions all have a message, which is critical. Anyway, that's a thought. We'll come back to that. Anything else before we adjourn this morning? Thank you all. We had a very good discussion on the Haynes and Friends project. And I think, Stanley, you opened our eyes to expanding it so that we could move forward. And we look forward to Cassie and Lauren Peters' proposal in August. And we will hopefully have a plaque for Golden Connections by August. We'll see. That's just dependent on their scheduling as proposed. Well, if I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move that.
Second.
Excellent. Thanks.
Thanks, you guys.
All in favor, we'll adjourn. See you in August.